this Red Sox team is poised to get on its roll against the Yankees. It's poised really to steamroll this Yankees team. I hate to say it. All you Yankees fans who are listening out there. But just there's so many injuries and they're playing generally poorly right now.
Hello and welcome into episode 212 of the Red Sox Beat podcast on CLNS Media, leading online video and audio provider for Major League Baseball and the Red Sox. Episode 212 is brought to you by betonline.ag. That's CLNS's preferred online sportsbook. Today we're welcoming in Brendan Cuddy from NJ.com, Yankees beat writer, to preview the series between the Red Sox and Yankees this week. So, Brendan, how are you?
Chris, I'm great. This series, it doesn't feel like a big one, but it could be.
It really could. It's only two games, but the first chance for these two teams to really go at it this season. 10-9, I think the Red Sox were last year, and then obviously they met again in the playoffs. But just like we were experiencing here in Boston down in New York, not really a good start for the Yankees. And I think, you know, that all starts with obviously probably one of the worst injury bugs I've seen a team get in, you know, a few years at least.
Yeah, it's nuts. Everybody is hurt. I'm waiting to go into the clubhouse and like step on a rolled up sock and break my leg. I don't know how these guys are going through it. I don't know how the healthy guys are staying healthy. I know that it's in the back of their mind. A while back, Luke Voit got hit on the wrist and he was pissed, not just because he got hit on the wrist, but because he could have been like number 37, you know, really number 11, number 12 on the injured list. So yeah, the Yankees are truly like decimated almost. And that being said, they do have enough talent to be competitive with a lot of teams. Even the Red Sox, who seem like, Chris, you guys are mostly at full strength by now, right?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, they have Brock Holt and Brian Johnson on the injured list, I guess, still calling it the disabled list. But other than those two guys, pretty much everyone's healthy. It's so, you know, I've said and I've written, it could be worse. You know, the Red Sox, you feel like, are going to break out of this after eventually. I thought it was going to happen this homestand and it didn't, where they were 3-3. But with the Yankees, they have guys who are clearly going to be out for a long time. And, it's going to be probably harder for the Yankees to bounce back.
Really, to steamroll this Yankees team, I hate to say it. All you Yankees fans who are listening out there. But just there's so many injuries and they're playing generally poorly right now. And you got J-Hap and James Paxton going for the Yankees on the mound these first two of these two games. And while last year that sounded like a great thing, you know, J-Hap was so good. And Paxton in Seattle, you thought he had ace potential. Both guys have really, really fallen off, at least to start this season. Now, there's no reason to think they can't recover. It's just three starts. But some of the stuff's alarming. Hap's fastball has been down a little bit. The control that he's been known for has been all over the place. Paxton, his control really hasn't been there. And I don't know if I'm playing or thinking too deep into this, but he talked the other day about needing to talk to or wanting, sorry, talk to a sports psychologist and friends and ex-players and ex-teammates about what it's like to play in New York. Mm-hmm. Is that getting to him after three starts?
Yeah, no, and that's right. That's exactly what I was just going to say. I mean, we've seen, you know, just a very recent example of a guy coming from the West Coast, a smaller market, being really excellent there, coming over in a big trade, a trade that was supposed to really help the Yankees rotation, and that didn't work out at all. So I think it's, you know, very early, obviously, but, you know, the psychologist thing and playing in that market, it's obviously a concern. I've been trying, you know, reading the coverage on that and seeing that headline. I think it's, first of all, I think it's a really, you know, honest admission from Paxton. I don't think there's a lot of guys that would come out and say that or be open with it. So I do really respect that. But for the Yankees, you know, it's concerning.
It's super concerning. And just to make one last point on that, you make a good point, Chris. You know, the fact he brought it up, the fact that he was straightforward about it, the fact that he talked openly about it must mean that there's a good amount of it behind him, or that he feels like he's standing on pretty firm ground.
Yeah, that's
otherwise
true.
You don't bring that kind of stuff up because you don't really talk that loudly about your insecurities. Maybe you talk about things that are behind you or things that you've dealt with, as opposed to so much things that you're dealing with. But I mean, what's sale look like for you guys? Those numbers are pretty gross too.
Similar, but it's different. I think similarity is that those two guys who the Red Sox are going to face, Happ and Paxton. Paxton was an offseason trade acquisition. Happ is a guy they re-signed for, you know, big money after getting him at the trade deadline last year. So it's magnified, obviously, when these guys, you know, either get a contract or come over for the first time. Sale obviously just signed for $145 million at the end of spring training. So the expectations are sky high there for him. Not only was he shelled in Seattle and then pitched poorly the other day against Toronto, but I think the big concern is that decrease in velocity that we've seen. You know, the Red Sox are obviously comfortable enough with the shoulder that was so problematic down the stretch last year to give him $145 million, but you still have to wonder, you know, is that a problem? Is this going to be an issue moving forward? That's a huge commitment for a guy that has shut down in the middle of a lot of seasons last year, really took a few months off because he had to build that back. Really interestingly, the Red Sox were able to, you know, have a big enough lead on the Yankees last year and really have everything put away before September that they could build in, give Sale a spring training in September. You know, one of the impacts of this poor start is that they're probably not going to have that type of lead. They're not going to be able to do that. So, you know, I think the Red Sox rotation, there have been less or fewer bright spots than we've seen with the Yankees rotation. They at least have a couple guys pitching well. But Sale and Eovaldi, two guys that really dominated the Yankees last year with a chance to go into Yankee Stadium and win. But like, you know, you think it's magnified because of those, you know, Happ getting that deal and Paxton being that, you know, supposed savior?
I think it's magnified because the sky is falling.
Yeah.
I think it's magnified because these are two legs of the table you thought were stable, and they're both crashing while you've got dinner on it.
And I'm sure the Severino part of that doesn't help at all.
Yeah, everything is going wrong. And a guy like Happ and a guy like Paxton, those guys weren't supposed to go wrong. And you know what else is going wrong, Chris? The bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 5 shutout innings from them on Sunday, which was huge. You know, Joe Harvey, who just got called up for the first time back in Houston last week, has looked pretty good. Chad Green, he rebounded a little bit, but he's been giving up some home runs. Adam Onavito looked pretty good. And Adam Onavito has been the real bright spot out of this bullpen. Chapman's still dealing with a little bit of decreased velocity.
You can't tell Red Sox fans that Adam Onavito has been a bright spot because they still want him from the offseason. So.
Yeah. I'm actually, you know, since we're talking about it, a little surprised you guys didn't end up with the Red Sox didn't end up with David Robertson. That looked like an obvious.
Yeah, it did look like a perfect fit.
Right, especially for the money he got. Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised by that deal. But the bullpen supposed to be this big old Yankees strength, supposed to dwarf at least the Red Sox bullpen. Really, not so much. Chris, I got to tell you, I don't know a whole lot about how the Red Sox bullpen is faring right now. Has it been trash? Has it been really good?
It's been a lot better than expected. You know, on that opening road trip, the starters were horrible. The offense was up and down. The bullpen was actually pretty good. They've gotten, you know, up until the last couple of days, they got really interestingly surprising contributions from Colton Brewer, who's their only guy they acquired over the offseason. And then Marcus Walden, a guy who was basically in AAA for all of last year. Those guys kind of imploded in the last couple of days, and Walden was just sent back down. But, you know, as a whole, it's been pretty good. Matt Barnes has been excellent. Brazier, you know, I think those are the guys that are going to be I have the real spotlight at the end of games. Brandon Workman's been good. So the bullpen, it's been really, I mean, a bizarre world version of the Red Sox so far, where starters are bad, the bullpen's good. And they need that to turn around. I think with the Red Sox this week, you know, a couple encouraging starts, Eduardo Rodriguez and David Price, but you know, those were against the Orioles, who you've seen a ton of so far this season. The Yankees, you know, struggled out of the gate against Baltimore. The Red Sox just split 2-4 with Baltimore, who is, you know, by all accounts, going to be the worst, one of the worst teams in baseball history. So yeah, that's another part of this where neither of these teams are going up against the best competition. Granted, the Yankees played the Astros and get swept and the whole deal. But the Red Sox, their series have been against Seattle, Oakland, Arizona, Toronto, and Baltimore, and they're, you know, where they are right now. So it's you mentioned the sky is falling in New York, and I think the injuries have a big part of that. I think, you know, there are definitely boos today. because at least partly Chris Davis had a home run in today's game, Monday's game here on Patriots Day. Obviously, that's the guy who has not hit at all since the middle of September, and he had a 3-for-5 game with 4 RBIs and then a home run today. So when you see that kind of guy, you know, beating your pitching, that probably will cause you to boo. But I think Red Sox fans also kind of have, and this is very rare for Bostonians, really rare for people in this area, they have kind of the idea that they're going to bounce back. They have the, you know, this team's too good to be this bad. They're going to break out of it. When you talk about the sky falling for Yankees fans, is that the injuries? Is that just, you know, kind of this residual frustration from how the postseason went or this team not going further? Or where does that come from?
It's seeing 11 guys on your injured list, including your starting center fielder, shortstop, catcher, and designated hitter, all guys who, and third baseman, all guys who are legitimate all-star type talents sitting on the injured list, and then Luke Voit standing in his corner locker saying, wait a second, guys, all these guys are hurt, but we probably should have beaten the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And them not beating the White Sox. Yeah. Losing 2 of 3 to the White Sox. Mm-hmm. Losing 2 of 3 to start the season with the Orioles. You know,
right.
Having getting swept by the Astros, though they kept themselves in a couple of those games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sky falling. It's things are awful, but the depth is there. But the players who need to step up aren't totally stepping up in every single way. But Chris, you know, I just thought of something really hard hitting and something really important that we didn't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last year, first Yankees Red Sox series? You know what went down.
Right.
The brawl.
A couple of actors that are not with either team right now, but still.
Which means who starts this year's brawl? Pick a Red Sox who starts this year's brawl. I'll go with the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, Chris Sale's going to be the most fiery guy on the team. So it's always a safe bet.
You think Chris Sale would be the guy who, like, you know, fourth inning, you know, hits a guy in the ribs because, hey, you know, we're making a statement. I think if someone was going to start a brawl on the Yankees, it would probably be Luke Voit.
He looks like the type for sure. And I'd be terrified if I was, you know, skinny Chris Sale going after Luke Voit. But
oh, geez. And Luke Voit would be salivating. I just there are so many big scary monsters on the Yankees. And of course, a couple
right.
hurt right now. But I don't know. And it's just fitting that Luke Voit was the replacement for Tyler Austin last summer. So that would be. I'm not saying I want to fight.
But no, that's what you're saying. You're saying you do want one.
I'm saying I'd watch one.
Yeah.
You know what? And you know what? If we don't get one, you know, on the field, maybe we'll just start one in the press box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that works too. But I think you can probably take me. So,
I'm scared about everybody else in the press box.
You can't teach height.
So I won't start that one.
I mean, what is the fun of a 6-9 team and a 6-11 team fighting though?
No, it's kind of
sad at that point.
It's sad, but I mean, at least you're not watching terrible baseball.
Yes. And have you seen? I haven't watched the Yankees closely. I've been watching the Red Sox and be involved in a lot of really bad baseball games, wild pitches, pass balls. A guy, you know, stole home against him this week and a lot of errors. Has it been, you know, sloppy stuff from the Yankees like that? Sloppy games, ugly games, or are they just getting beaten by actually good baseball?
No. It's been a combination of sloppiness mm-hmm. and ineffectiveness from players who they can't afford to be ineffective right now. You credit Carlos Rodon on Sunday, lefty who had a pretty rough track record coming into the game, but throws 95, you know, has pretty electric stuff when he's on. Rodon beat them. If I'm saying mm-hmm. his name, I think I'm saying his name right. But aside
he went to North Carolina State, so I don't think it matters if you say it right.
I forgot where your allegiances lie.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you got – and, you know, I hate to harp on things that happened a week ago, but Brett Gardner not running out a double play, you know, thinking the ball was mm-hmm. foul and just not running it out. Bobbled balls here. Gary Sanchez to start the season with, like, 4 throwing errors in 5 games, something like that. Greg Bird being indecisive on a play to first base. Do you step on first? Do you go home? He just drops the ball. You know, just a lot of ugly stuff all the way around. On Sunday, with Kyle Higashioka behind the plate. Now it wasn't all on him, but the White Sox stole five bases on the Yankees. Now that was a couple times where the defense just didn't cover the bag. There were a couple of other times where he had no shot, but I mean, geez, five stolen bases, yikes! So just every single way possible, the Yankees are getting beat right now. And you know, you mentioned how at least the Yankees are getting some good starting pitching. I don't really see it. You know, they got something good from CeCe on Saturday. Mm-hmm. That was his first start of the season, five stolen.
Right. But he's the first guy to come back off the IL, right?
Right. Right. And who knows who the next guy is going to be. It's not going to be anytime soon. Maybe it's Gary Sanchez.
Tulowitzki
hasn't really been doing much either. Mm-hmm. And he's going to probably need some rehab games or a rehab game or two. But just it's been kind of ugly in a lot of ways for the Yankees. And, you know, it's hard to imagine, you know, being honest here. It's hard to see it turning around against the Red Sox, who have so much talent, who can be so good. But that being said, who saw the Red Sox getting off to this start? It's entirely possible that the Yankees decide to flip the switch, and you know, the Red Sox are the ones who tank. Who knows? Who knows?
I have just two more questions for you. Gonna let you go, but first, of all these injuries, you know, we have Andujar and Severino, who was just shut down for 6 weeks, and Betances, who the bad update on him the other day. Of all these injuries, you know, which do you think are the most concerning moving forward, or going to be the most long term?
I think where it's felt the most right now is center field with Aaron Hicks, because you have Brett Gardner out in center field, really not hitting.
Yeah,
and you really miss Aaron Hicks's arm.
Mm-hmm.
I think you miss Severino because he could be such a stabilizing presence in that rotation, especially when that's not really getting it done right now. You know, your two and three guys are not stepping it up. And I think that when Didi Gregorius gets back sometime this summer from Tommy John surgery, we're all going to remember, holy moly, what a good defender this guy is.
Yeah.
Gleyber Torres has been fine, but he's made some rushed throws. He's been a fine Band-Aid, but Didi is a guy who probably should be a two-time All-Star right now, and he hasn't been one yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'd rank the impact of the Yankees' injuries. Oh, and Dellin Betances, though the Yankees' bullpen is really deep.
Yep.
There have been times in the late innings where a guy puts a few guys on, and you say to yourself, man, I bet Aaron Boone really wishes he can call on Dellin Betances right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And like I said, you know, Red Sox fans, at least everybody's healthy. Brian Johnson's hurt. Brock Holt's coming back this week, but at least everybody's healthy. I'll let you go with this. You are not too high on the Yankees right now. Don't like their chances, but what's your prediction? Two-game series, do they get swept? Do they split? What happens here?
I think they lose them both.
Yeah.
I think they lose them both. And that's just basing it off recent performance. They haven't been turning around. And it's hard to watch the way they played and pull confidence from it. That being said, like, you know, Aaron Judge could hit three home runs in a series, or you know, Luke Voit can go off, or you know,
DJ LeMahieu can keep being, you know, Babe Ruth, right?
A monster, an absolute monster, a silent assassin. That guy never talks. Or James Paxton can remember, holy crap, I'm James Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, we just haven't seen it yet. And just knowing what the Red Sox can do, if I'm a Yankees fan, I'm not feeling great going into it.
All right. Well, we'll see you in the Bronx. Thank you for your time, Brendan.
Hey, Chris, looking forward to seeing you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Can you believe it's already spring in Boston? Red Sox season is underway, and the Red Sox have begun their quest for another World Series title, which would be their fifth in 16 years, not off to the best start, as we know. If you're dying to feel like you are a part of the action and you don't know where to start, well, we have the place for you. There is only one place to share in the wins with the Red Sox, grab the odds, and allow the experts at betonline.ag do the heavy lifting for you. That's betonline.ag, just like Attorney General. They have sports, They have live betting. They have a virtual casino. Anything you want, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag is CLNS Media's preferred sportsbook online. If you're feeling lucky and want to support our podcast, go to clnsmedia.com/SoxBeat. That's SOXBEAT. And use the promo code CLNS50 for that 50% sign-up bonus. That's CLNS50. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. So we're joined now for this part with Chris Smith. He's my colleague at MassLive.com, my co-beat writer. Chris, welcome to your first of what will probably be many appearances on this show.
Oh, well, I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for having me, Chris.
You kind of want the Red Sox side of things. You were at most of the games on this homestand. You were at, you know, the last seven games of the road trip in Oakland and Arizona. And this team's 6-11. And why is that, Chris?
Because of everything. Because of pitching, because of starting pitching in particular. I mean, it's unbelievable. Their starting ERA is over 7. Batting average against is 292, which is the worst in the majors. Mm-hmm. The WHIP is the worst in the majors. I think it's 165. And you know, their hitting isn't much better right now. I mean, Mookie Betts hasn't hit the ball. His OPS is below 800. His batting average, which we don't care about batting average, but still, it's 222. He went 3-for-21 on the homestand. So, I mean, you can look at Pedroia and everybody said, oh, Pedroia didn't hit it all on the homestand. Well,
there's a lot of that on Twitter right now.
You know, is there? Is there? I really
yeah, there is.
I got one person that tweeted to me and said something about Pedroia. That was it. But that's why I bring him up, because I'm like, well, you know, he's hitting in the low hundreds, but give him some time here. You know, I mean, he hasn't played, you know, more than 3 games. He played 3 games last year. He hasn't really played since the 2017 season. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Mookie Betts, who is just as bad on the homestand, maybe even worse, because he's dropping, you know, he can't even catch a ball in the outfield that he's supposed to catch. So,
today,
he's batting 143 during the homestand. Mm-hmm. He has one home run. He's the guy that needs to get the offense going. So, but he took it, you know, he took accountability today. He said, this is unacceptable. And he said that after the game. So, he knows he needs to be better, but everybody needs to be better. And, you know, they're not fielding the ball that well. And as I said, you know, the mental mistakes, you know, there's been some miscommunications in the outfield. And then you've also got some bad base running as well. So, I mean, it's been everything.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we talked about, especially with Alex Cora, he said teams have adjusted. That's part of this. The Mariners' approach offensively in the first 4 games was incredible. They're hitting homers left and right. They really haven't stopped that. They've still been, you know, just as good since the Red Sox left Seattle. So the Mariners are, you know, maybe a team that really outplayed them. But we're seeing, in a lot of cases, the Red Sox beating themselves. These are not these teams are not the class of Major League Baseball. You have after, you know, Arizona's a team that's rebuilding, lose 2 out of 3 to them. Oakland was a playoff team last year, so they're okay. But you have Toronto and Baltimore, who you're splitting with. Yeah. These are supposed to be, you know, the two bottom teams in the American League East, if not the entire league. And like you said, it's a lot of self-inflicted stuff. It's a lot of, you know, they had a guy steal home the other day for Toronto. There's errors, there's drop balls, there's miscommunications. It's you hate to use this term that is so overused over the years, but that World Series hangover is real, just because this team is beating themselves. We're, you know, not 2 games in anymore. We're 17, and it's just been tough to see.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at a series like this with you know, the Orioles, I mean, you can never, I guess, expect a sweep. But 3 out of 4, you should expect 3 out of 4 against a team like the Orioles.
Yeah.
And even when you
and
have
they're not, they're not to, even projected to win 50 games, really.
Yeah. So. Even when you have a lineup like Monday where, you know, you don't have your regular, you know, you don't have some of your regulars in there, you know, Jackie's sick and, you know, Andrew Benintendi fouled the ball off his foot. I mean, still the Red Sox have a $240 million, you know, payroll. And they're, you know, the people that they had in the lineup were a lot better today than the people that the Baltimore Orioles had in the lineup, which is, you know, a AAA or a 4A lineup. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so
there is no 4A, remember.
His MLB.
Mm-hmm. So like anyway, Joey Cora always tells Alex.
Yeah. So, you know, so, I mean, you can never expect a sweep, I guess, in a four-game series. But, you know, they should have won three. And, you know, I mean, you would have liked to have seen them win four, but they should have at least won three in this series. And, you know, and I look at it like, you know, maybe they're playing not too inspired. Like they had more to prove last year. You know, they were a team that didn't win, you know, the previous 2 years. They were knocked out in the ALDS the previous 2 years. And, you know, everybody was saying, oh, they can't make the, you know, they can't play in the, you know, they're not a playoff team. They're not good in the playoffs. They get knocked out early in the playoffs. And the Red Sox were so motivated last year and everything. And it looks like they're playing like the defending world champions this year. Like they don't have anything to prove. And so I wrote a column today, you know, after this game, it was just like, you know, yeah, they do have something to prove now. Maybe they haven't been playing like they have something to prove because they didn't have something to prove because they were the World Series champions. But now they're 6-11 and they, you know, they don't look like a good team. And Tampa Bay's playing like the 2018 Red Sox where they look like they're, you know, they look like they're motivated. So the Red Sox do have something to prove right now. They just have to prove that they're actually a good baseball team.
And obviously this upcoming road trip is, I think, a lot bigger than anybody would have envisioned, you know, a mid-April road trip being. They get two games in New York starting tomorrow, a day off. They go to Tampa, play three games there, wrapping up on Easter Sunday, and then they come home for 10. But, you know, what you wrote is that this road trip is actually pretty big. It's a time for them to prove themselves against not just, you know, your big rival, but a team that the Rays are putting up a Patriots record right now with 12-4. And they've looked, you know, excellent. Their pitching staff has been awesome, obviously, you know, doing it in an unconventional way. They don't have the five starters like the Red Sox or the Yankees do. But the Rays have been great. And now, you know, you have to go into Tropicana Field in front of 5,000 fans. And according to Chris Smith, prove yourself, right?
Yeah, well, now that you put it that way, thanks. Mm-hmm. But really, though, I mean, they are, you know, we knew they were going to be pretty good. I think they have a lot better starting pitching now than they did last year with, you know, they're deeper in starting pitching with, you know, Morton in there.
Right.
And so, you know, I look at that as a very good team. And, you know, I think that they should be able to take these two games in New York before they go there. I mean, Eovaldi was, you know, legit against the Yankees last year. They could not hit him either in the regular season.
Sales numbers were incredible too.
And sales numbers against the Yankees are, you know, date back years. You know, he's always been good against the Yankees. He's always been good at Yankee Stadium. So, you know, it should be interesting, you know, because obviously Sale isn't the same type pitcher right now. You know, I mean, he's got an ERA of 9 and his, you know, the opposition's batting over 300 against him. So, you know, this isn't the same Sale that we've seen dominate, but I mean, it should be interesting to see what kind of pitcher Chris Sale is, you know, at Yankee Stadium on Tuesday night, because, you know, I mean, where the velocity is, where he's spotting his pitches, how much better his slider is, you know, and Chris Sale really needs to turn that corner. Because they can't just have David Price pitching well and you know, Eduardo Rodriguez pitching well every three
starts. You never
know what
you're going to get from him. Yep.
Exactly.
I think, you know, part of this, and this is good for me because I'm going on the trip. The weather tomorrow night in Yankee Stadium is going to be 65 degrees at first pitch, I think is the projection. And with no press box windows and just the open air there, I'm very happy about it. And people believe that, you know, when the weather gets better, Chris Sale is going to get better. I think that's been a storyline that, you know, his last start is now going to be a week ago, but a little bit better velocity, but not the results. And he said he's never felt more lost on the mound. You know, you have expressed to me, you know, some concerns about Sale, especially in the wake of that contract, but just kind of take me through what you think of his start and basically when or if you think he's going to turn this around.
Yeah, so I think that he, you know, will turn around. I don't think Chris Sale is going to have bad numbers this year. I don't think he's going to have bad stats this year. But, you know, I think that one concerning thing is that, you know, when the velocity in Oakland was the lowest it's ever been average wise in a start in his career. Now, I know they said he was sick that day, but the velocity hasn't been great all the year.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing with these starts is that if you look at the velocity last year in April, the average velocity was low, you know, I mean, it was 93, 92, 93 per start, but he was getting, you know, he could pump it up at 97. The max velocity was there at 97. Mm-hmm. The max velocity has been around 95 this year. So he's not pumping it up to 97. I think that we'll see velocity come mid-May.
Right. I agree. It's going to come as it gets warmer out.
But I think that either a concerted effort, or it just not is going to be as much as last year. I mean, there was four starts in June, in early July, where, you know, he topped out over 100, and there was a couple of starts where he, you know, he topped out at the most that he's ever topped out as a starting pitcher in his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that, you know, when you ramp it up from what he did in April last year, where he was averaging 93 and topping out at 97, to going to, you know, to what was that, you know, phrase that he used?
Unleashing,
you know,
the Ferrari.
Unleashing the Ferrari.
An Evan Drellick classic.
Yes. That was when, you know, that was, you just can't go from there to unleashing the Ferrari and throwing over 100 consistently. I think that's what caused the two shoulder problems. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, or the shoulder problem that put him on the DL twice, or the injured list twice last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, long term with this contract, you know, I don't like, I would have concerns, you know, because if you're concerned right now, it's year one, and they have six more years.
Now it's year, you know,
there's
year
always
zero.
Been durability issues, and so I think that there should be concern. I was like, you know, I always thought that they weren't going to sign him until, you know, during spring training, when John Henry indicated that they were going to sign him, I felt like they were going to sign him. But until then, I felt like they should wait, or they were going to wait until the end of the season, see how, you know, he responded after the two injured list stints last year and the long year that he had going into the postseason and everything, and see how things went, and then, you know, determine if he could stay durable this season and then sign him or not sign him. Mm-hmm. Instead, they decided to sign him, and now it looks like, you know, it could bite them.
Yeah. You know, it's obviously very early. It's not even year one. It's year zero, because the contract doesn't start, but I mean, until next year. But, you know, obviously he's had a very, very unique season last year. One that, you know, I don't think we've seen from it's, you know, they completely piloted that program of giving him, you know, building him up like that in September, so he'd be ready for October. And he was, you know, up and down in October, and he's been mostly down so far. So tomorrow, or today when this drops, I guess, will be a huge, huge start for him. Eovaldi, you know, has been kind of the guy where, you know, one of the few guys that Cora has talked about, you know, naming specific pitches that have been the problem pitches for him, naming specific at bats. And like you said, against the Yankees, he's been excellent, so he'll have a chance in the second game of this quick series. And then, you know, the Red Sox come back 10 games at home. To me, you know, I think that a lot of us felt this way, that they thought being home would be, you know, perfect for this team. It would be, you know, sleeping in your own beds, getting two off days, a little bit of rest after that 11-game road trip. But they came out flat in a home opener on a cold day, especially. You know, I think what's telling to me is this, and play into, you know, read into this as much as you want, but for me, it means something. There are days of the year where, you know, they are bigger than other games, for sure. You know, they go down as 1 out of 162, but the home opener, opening day, and Patriots Day are three landmarks on the early schedule for the Red Sox. They're 0-3, and those three, you know, they get absolutely demolished by Seattle on opening day. The ring ceremony happens, and that's the only positive of that day for the Red Sox. And then, you know, today, with a huge crowd and pretty good weather on Marathon Monday and everything that entails, and, you know, knowing that you're in prime time, 11 a.m. is not your usual prime time, but it's what it is on Marathon Monday. You know, to come out flat on those 3 days, I think, to me, is telling that there's something going on here. You know, I think the next milestone is less than 24 hours away because your first series against the Yankees, you're in the Bronx. You know, I think we saw last year the rivalry get back to a point where it hasn't been in over 10 or more years with, you know, not just fights and tensions flying, but up an actual playoff series that, you know, for the first two games was really intense. And that, you know, three or four games in that series were, you know, really intense environments. The third one, there's about, you know, Tropicana Field level crowd by the end of it when Brock Holt completed his cycle in front of family and friends. But, you know, like I said, if you can't get up for the three games, you've already been, you know, pretty much demolished, and that's concerning. Yeah, I read into that. I don't know if you do. But this year, long-term outlook, what do you think?
Long-term outlook? I mean, they've got to get going fast because, you know, we've seen that historically, you know, major league teams that, you know, don't play well at the beginning of the year, don't play in well in April, don't make the playoffs in the wild card era. I think it was Alex or Pete from the Globe. Either one of them had a stat recently where there's only like three teams in the wild card era that have gotten off to this kind of start that have made the, you know, the postseason. And so, I mean, you can't win a division in April, but you can, mm-hmm. you know, lose a division in April, especially, you know, when you start off 6-11 and then you go play, a Yankees team that, you know, is not playing well, but they have a billion injuries. But if they beat you, and then you go play a really hot Tampa team. So, you know, if you lose these games, you could be out of it pretty quick. And so, you know, I've been around covering this team when they lost, when they were last place teams in 2014 and 2015.
A grizzled veteran on the beat, ladies and
exactly,
gentlemen.
Exactly. Thank you. And mm-hmm. I know how things can quickly get out of hand. I mean, I remember sitting on the bench in, it was either late May or early, either late April or early May in Oakland, you know, asking Ben Sherrington in 2014, you know, what moves are you going to make? You know, what's going on with this team? You know, how can you get better? And the things slipping away. And mm-hmm. you could feel things slipping away that early in that season. And so things can be lost early in seasons in Major League Baseball. They can't be won early, but they can be lost early. And so the Red Sox got to get their, you know, head out of there something and get going because, you know, it's you know, there's got to be more urgency. They got to play with more urgency or else, you know, this season could be done quick and we could be talking about trades.
Yeah. Oh, well, what a fun time that would be. I'll leave you with this. Think about if everything was flipped, the Red Sox were 12-4. And the other four teams were at least 5.5 games behind. People would be saying, oh, the division's already won in April because that's how it works around here. That's Chris Smith, my co-beat writer at masslive.com. You can follow him at Smitty on MLB.